1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
Have you ever gotten any unhelpful advice? I think as Aussies, we tend to do this quite a bit. Like, our famous phrases are really actually unhelpful. Like, no worries, mate. She'll be right. It'll all work out in the end. I think these are actually really unhelpful. Like, imagine, whenever I think about advice, I'm like, okay, if I had a broken leg, would that actually help? Like, imagine someone's like, broken leg. I imagine it's like this part, the lower part, if you're listening on the podcast. And the bone's broken, and it's one of those ones where the bone's sticking out of the skin. Right? Is that like descriptive enough? Now imagine if your little mate comes past and looks down and says, no worries, mate. Like, she'll be right. You're like, no, that doesn't actually help me right now as my bone is sticking out of my skin. Unhelpful advice. Or maybe you've sat with someone and you've told them how you're suffering or something's happened in your life and they drop this one on you. I know exactly how you feel. I hate that. You want to punch that person in the face. You don't know how I feel. Because no two stories are the same. No two pains are the same. Or maybe you do suffer with something. Maybe you've suffered or still suffer from depression or anxiety. And you get those people that are trying to be really helpful. Just be happier. Don't be sad. And you think, really? Really, that's your advice to me. That's as bad as useful as saying, don't be broken to a broken leg, right? That is not useful at all. Even worse than these unhelpful advices are Christian unhelpful advices. Because I feel like we get so confident with them when they become Christian ones. Like, have you heard these ones before? It's all in God's plan, right? Don't worry, everything happens for a reason. Or God helps those who help themselves. I don't know where that one came from. And I feel embarrassed because I feel like I've used all of these at some point in life, or people have used them to me. And here's the big one. Don't worry. God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, I've got to admit, when I saw that I was preaching on this topic, I thought, hang on a minute. No, he did say that. He said he wouldn't give us more than we can handle. I've told people this. People have told me this. Isn't that what the Bible says? Did God really say that he would never give us more than we can handle? Where did we get that idea from? It comes from this verse that was read out in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is the part where it comes from. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Paul was talking about temptation, not suffering. See, with temptation, we have a choice. But with suffering, we often don't have a choice. Now, this is an amazing promise. An amazing promise that in our sins, in our temptation, he will provide a way out. Which means we're no longer slaves to sin. He has given us victory over that. And what an amazing promise and a completely different sermon. Paul is talking about temptation, not suffering. Will God give us more than we can handle? I have a friend, his name is Paul. This is a photo of us, it's me in the middle with fluffy hair. And this is Paul to my right. We've been friends for a long time. He came to this church, grew up in Crossfire, and we're in Bible study together. The same year that this photo was taken, this is 2010, I got a call, and it was from his sister, and he ended up in hospital because he had a collapsed lung. One of his lungs had collapsed. And so they fixed him all up and sent him on his way. And then 6 months later, it happened again. Now, after the first time, it took him a while to recover. But especially after the second time, he completely lost all his energy. He had a career, but he couldn't go to his job. He just didn't have the energy. He'd lost something. They did tests and tests, and doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And he ended up having two more lung collapses. Now, it's been about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and he simply has no energy. He's got no life left in him. And so what his life consists of is staying at home. On bad days, he can't really get out of bed. On better days, he can get out of bed, enough strength to get to the couch, so at least he can watch movies or at least do something with his day. And some days are a bit better, where he can actually go outside and do something, or maybe cook his wife dinner. But he's limited to that one task, and then he loses all his energy. 5 or 6 years with this. And because he hasn't been able to work, they're just relying on his wife's wages. So they're struggling financially as well. He would say that God is giving him more than he can handle. And spending time with him and seeing him in this, I would completely agree. See, chances are that you've had moments. You've had moments in your life where your circumstances were so heavy, a situation so desperate that it was too much to handle. And maybe even now, you're in a time of life where God has given you more than you can handle. Moments where you get hit, and just as you're getting back up, you get hit again. A storm comes, and another storm comes over the top of it. And you feel like there's no way out. God gives us more than we can handle. And I wonder if it's gotten so bad that you might have had thoughts like this. I'm under huge pressure, far beyond my ability to endure. I despair my own life. I feel like I've been given the sentence of death. These are deep words of sorrow and pain, and they are the words of Paul in this letter he sent to the Corinthians. Look what it says. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. This is Paul. This is Paul, the guy who said, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. The guy who said, in everything, give thanks. The guy who said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The guy who said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And he says, we despaired of life itself. We felt like we had received the sentence of death. God gave him more than he could handle. And the obvious question is, why? Why would God give him more than he can handle? Why would God give us more than we can handle? Why would God put us through this? Why does suffering happen? Why do we experience pain? Why doesn't God just take all the pain away? For what purpose is this happening to me? Well, Paul goes on in this letter, and this is what he says. He says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. The truth is that God will give you more than you can handle, but nothing that he can't. God will give you more than you can handle, but nothing that he can't. See, God uses your suffering to bring you closer to him. Paul says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God who raises the dead. He brings dead things back to life. He takes what people meant for bad and uses them for good. He takes impossible situations and doesn't just make them possible or probable. He makes promises to fulfill them. Our God is the God of impossibility. See, God won't just give you things that are hard. He will give you things that are impossible. And how do we know that? Well, he's been doing it since the start of creation. He got Moses to walk through the water. He got Joshua to walk through the water. He not only used a grandma to fall pregnant, he used a virgin to fall pregnant. He used regular-sized David to kill a giant-sized Goliath. He took Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and made him completely alive again. He has called us to love him with our heart, our soul, our strength. Impossible. And he calls us to love one another. Very difficult at sometimes. He will put us in situations that aren't just hard, but are impossible for us to handle without him. He uses our trials, our pain, our suffering to draw us closer to himself. And when we draw closer to him, when we give up using our own strength and give it over to him, that's when we can stand with Paul and say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will give us more than we can handle, but he will never leave us or forsake us. And I wonder if that's a sobering thought. Because think of this question. What if God chooses not to take the pain away, would you still follow him? Would you rather walk with Jesus through the darkest valley or walk on the mountaintop without him? See, we may never know the reason why God chooses to let these things happen. I have zero helpful advice for my friend Paul in his situation. But one thing we do know that is God will walk with us through any situation and all situations to bring us closer to him. I had another friend recently. He got some news and it shook his world. Now the news not only affected what he was doing now, but it was going to majorly affect his future. And not just the now and not just the future, but this had the potential of messing up everything that he had done up until this point. And I talked to him and he said, I just feel numb. I feel numb for what's happened to me. But then he said, I've never been closer to God. See, when we hit rock bottom, we will be on the bottom, but we are also on the rock. And we know that the Lord is our rock. He is our foundation. When we hit rock bottom, we're going to be on the bottom, but we're going to be on the rock. And that is Jesus. God never said he won't give us more than we can handle. But there are a few things that he did say. He says that he will walk with us. Romans 8:26. He says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God uses your suffering to bring you closer to him. But he also uses your suffering to bring others closer to him. I was at a conference last week, and between where I parked and where the conference was happening was about a 20-minute walk. And so I'd get there in the morning and then I'd leave at night. And part of that walk was a pathway to get closer to my car. And the pathway had like trees on either side and a path in the middle, and it was about 50 meters. And this path was pitch black, like pitch black. I actually took a photo of it just to show you. It's a little joke there. And so obviously I got out my phone and put the little torch on. I didn't see any Pokemon because I'm not into that just yet, maybe. But I had to use the light. It was pitch black. I couldn't see where I was going. And so the next night, I made the same journey, the same time. I got to the path, and the difference was that this night it had stormed. It had been raining. So it was even worse. I didn't have an umbrella, so I just ran as fast as I could. And then I got to that path. And I started walking, and I started realizing, hang on a minute, I can actually see where I'm going. Which is weird, because the night before, exactly the same time, it was pitch black. How is it that I can see in front of me? I don't have to use my torch. And what I realized was, because of the rain, because of the storm, the moon was actually reflecting off the water that was on the ground. And I could see on the path. And I wonder if that is the picture of what God does with our suffering. When storms come, when rain comes, and things in our life come and they mess things up, we can actually reflect God's light so much more to people. The phrase that God is good is so much sweeter from the lips of those who have gone through the valleys and have either come out or are still there walking with Jesus. Paul says this in that same letter, 2 Corinthians 1. He says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Look at what it says. It says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. Praise be to God, the Father of our comfort. He comforts us. Paul says that in his suffering, he received comfort from God so that he can comfort those in any trouble. God uses your suffering to bring others closer to him. So I wonder if the best advice that we can give each other is that advice in Romans 12:15, which says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." And what sometimes what that looks like is just sitting with people. Not trying to have an equation in our head of why it is that you're suffering. What is it that you've done wrong? But just sitting with people. And maybe it means getting a box of tissues, or maybe just using our sleeve. Maybe that's the best advice that we can have as a family. As like Karen said, we're all going to go through this. And maybe there's some here that are already going through it. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. But there's good news for us. And we remember that God is not done with us. And we have an amazing promise from God, and that promise is of heaven. In Revelation 21, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.